Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners and macabre murders from across the centuries and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 84.
84.
84.
Very exciting.
Oh, is it exciting?
Well, I don't know. I said that and I regretted it instantly. I thought, no, I meant to be angry.
You can't deny the excitement of the numbers, Nick. The excitement of the numbers. That sounds like a good crime novel, doesn't
it?
Or a bad crime novel.
Yeah. Or like Countdown After Dark.
Don't tell me you wouldn't watch that.
Absolutely. Street Countdown.
What's it like? Can get quite cold. How are you, Nick?
I'm alright.
Alright. For Spooky Month.
Nothing spooky so far.
Nothing?
Apart from...
I wasn't fishing there, but...
Yes, fishing, yeah, always fishing. Those of you on Patreon may have witnessed my slight rant about tiny pumpkins this week. And then Sinead came over, and I had to run out to get some bits and pieces. And I came back, and she had discreted tiny pumpkins around my house.
Discreted is quite nice, actually, a way of saying it. I was going to go, surely it's secreted, and I went, oh God, no, one.
that would be unfortunate.
I think you can use them, actually, they use that word in both terms,
really?
But people will always go,
also like, ooh, no.
Yes,
no.
I packaged up a tiny pumpkin, brought it round, and then when Nick was out, I was like, okay, where am I going to put this? I'm going to chuck it in the fireplace, see how long it comes. Walked through the door, pointed, there's a pumpkin! There's a tiny pumpkin!
There's a tiny pumpkin in my house, get it out!
Yeah! No, it stays now, it stays. I'm just going to build and build a little tiny pumpkin display hidden around Nick's house.
And then watch it rot.
You are dressed like a pumpkin today, you've got an orange t-shirt on.
Thank you for that.
It's already spreading.
That's exactly what I had in mind. I know, I want to look like a pumpkin. I put on an orange t-shirt.
And I love it.
Thank you, that's very kind.
I'm sorry, is that terribly insulting suddenly? A tiny pumpkin? A seasonal squash?
Moving on.
Well, you're all right. Any poisonings this week?
I know, I've been far too busy for such things.
I've been very busy too.
Been a busy week?
Yeah,
busy week.
The week has flown by.
It was only Wednesday.
Well, when we record this.
Yes. Now it's Friday, or Tuesday, or Thursday.
Friday. We don't even know. When we record this, obviously, people, it's not live. We've tried Is to make not? This clear every time.
It's not, you surprise me.
Yes, but it's midway through. Hump day.
Oh, well, quite.
You really popped your lips there.
It's like the word hump.
Those pre-show Negronis are kicking
in. Yeah, that two
people.
Sips I've taken so far. It's already gone straight to my brain.
Oh, wonderful. Well, speaking of going insane with two sips of Negronis and pumpkin-related madness, I think it's time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers. Yeah,
indeed we should. So thank you very much to E.H. How very mysterious.
Mm. To Cipriana. I'm pronouncing that right.
And to Amy Clausen. Thank you very much. Ah. Are you a tiny pumpkins too?
Do you have tiny pumpkins right now? Everyone who joins Patreon with a tiny pumpkin gets another free tiny pumpkin in their minds.
Okay. It's the pumpkin theatre of the mind.
I'd love that.
No, it's just you sitting in the corner imagining pumpkins going la 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 la.
What, like I've been hit over the head?
Yeah, exactly. It must be a little Tweety Birds. Sinead has pumpkins going around.
That is my life every day, sitting in the corner thinking about pumpkins and spooky stuff. Normally we reserve this for Patreon, but I am going to poison something this week. I'm going to goddamn poison the lack of Halloween decorations that you can find in towns in England, in any stores in England. But more importantly, I'm going to poison the bloody swathe of Christmas decorations.
Rude.
It's October. Let us have this 1 month of spookiness. Well, Nick.
Hello.
Are you ready?
No.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison.
Poison?
Poison.
Poison?
Poison? Or?
I was waiting. I know what's coming.
We could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
I want to see how many different ways we can say poison.
I think that needs to be a thing now for the catchphrase each week. You can only say it so many times before the words lose their meaning.
That they do.
You didn't have so much poise, son.
No. Don't do that. That's weird.
That's a Simpsons reference. Good. Okay, should we go with the first one?
I have no idea what the first one was, but why not?
Should we drink a cocktail?
Or I'm way ahead of you.
So. Or a few.
Or a few, you say?
A few, and tell a few stories while we're here.
Why not?
Screw the actual episode, we'll just tell some tales around a campfire. Let's have a nice chat. Yes. So it's my story this week. Hooray, hooray, hooray. But as we've established, we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell and will flavour our cocktail of the week. My pick this week... Yes. And so the secret ingredient is a ghost.
A tad early, I feel.
No.
This would be a perfect Halloween ingredient. Have a ghost.
I've got a load of ideas saved up from that. There cannot be, how many times do I have to tell you? There's never enough. A ghost.
You're saying.
Spooky ghost.
Any particular type of ghost? Any variety of spook you have in mind?
Just a general ghost?
Just a general run-of-the-mill ghost.
Well, what kind of variety of ghost are you thinking of?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it a poltergeist? Is it a phantasm? Or a spectre? Who knows?
Did you think poltergeist is in that's a type of ghost, and then you went, oh, I've run out of types of ghosts, so I'm going to go with different names of ghosts?
It's all the same.
What's a phantasm, then?
Well, it's a spooky thing.
What? And a spectre?
It's all the same. It's a fucking ghosty thing.
So it is all the same. You admit it.
Yes.
No, it's just a ghost.
Oh.
It's a dead person.
Well, that's dull.
Oh, it's a dull... Oh, God. Ghosts aren't enough for you. God,
no, absolutely not.
Well, with ghosts, ghosts, spectres, phantasms, haunting creatures, if you will, what have you come up with,
well,
Nick?
Well, I'm still in two minds, to be honest.
Okay.
I've got two options for you.
Ooh.
And it depends how nice you are, really.
Okay.
As to which one you're going to get.
I've had a very long week, and it's only Wednesday.
A very long week.
And I made you a drink.
You did make me a drink.
And I brought you a beautiful pumpkin.
So that's counting against you at the moment. So
No.
I've infected my house with pumpkins.
It's like the plague for you, isn't it? The pumpkins are growing.
But then you did make me a Negroni. So I did. And you had a hard week.
But two options. Interesting.
Two options. Okay, I think I've made my mind up.
Okay.
For you, I am going to make a phantom love song.
Oh, I did not know what you were going to say there. I was like, ooh, okay, a phantom love song.
A phantom love song, just for you.
Say you love me, la la la, other words. Don't know the words.
Yes, absolutely. That's how it goes. Classic Lloyd Webber.
Ooh, a phantom love song. Now, you did have a backup.
I did.
And I think I know what it is.
I'm sure you do. Many people have commented that it could be this. I mean, to be honest, I could have made fucking anything.
Yeah, there's loads of ghostly cocktails.
Well, I could just go with the spirit.
No, you couldn't.
And then I could have just made anything I like, because I've used a spirit.
No, it's not a ghost, though.
A spirit is a ghost.
Oh, what, really? Okay. Where does that fit in with the phantasm, spectre, and poltergeist kind of scale?
Oh, it's at least... It's up there.
it's up there.
It's at least
a
number six on the scale.
Spirit, no, I would have flipped the table and said, no.
That's
no.
Why I didn't do it.
See, I thought that the other cocktail you were going to make... What was the other cocktail you were going to make?
It was a green ghost.
A green ghost. And that would be quite apt, even though I would be unhappy with it. Now, a green ghost. Shall I venture to think that that may have a secret ingredient in it?
What potentially could it
be? It was some sort of greeny, twiggy, hell-based spawn would be going into it.
Yeah, I mean, we could also go down the river. What is your worst nightmare? What is the most horrifying thing that you could see before you?
Well,
would be a floating bottle of chartreuse.
That's an interesting subject, yeah, then, yeah, because ghosts aren't always necessarily terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Or green.
Or green. Green ghost we're not going for, thank you.
I could still change my mind.
You could still do it. Well, I had a backup as well, because I was so terrified and convinced that you were going to go with a green ghost. I found another one.
Did you?
I found the grey ghost.
The grey ghost,
the
yes.
The grey ghost.
I don't have any violet.
Oh, okay.
I've run out.
Ah, shit.
Otherwise, yeah, otherwise, absolutely.
You usually have violet in-house.
I do for my aviations, unfortunately I'm out. It's arriving tomorrow, my booze delivery.
Oh, well, maybe we'll do that on Friday then, with the giant booze delivery that's coming. Yes, a grey ghost is a variation on an aviation, but uses blue curacao in it. And it sounded lovely, but you don't have any violets, so... But good, you had a backup. Okay, cool. So it's a phantom love song?
Phantom love song.
Phantom love song. Oh my god, I'm excited. Without further ado, it is time for us to go into the poisoner's cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So Nick,
the phantom love song.
It's a forlorn thing. Oh, it does look very ghostly.
It does, it does.
It's pale and interesting. Having averted the horror that would have been the green ghost.
The excellence and the majesty and wonder that would have been the green ghost.
And you may still make one.
I made it. I forced you to drink it.
That sounds upsetting. Okay, it looks lovely. Mm. It looks all pale and interesting. Ooh, smells kind of citrusy, which is always good. I could keep talking about this, but I want to drink it.
Let's just try and drink it, shall we?
Okay, let's try and drink it. Okay, Merry Christmas. Ooh. Oh, that's really interesting. Ooh, so really citrusy and sharp, but there's flavors in there that I don't know what they are. Ooh, so I'm getting lime. Definitely getting lime. So I know, because you had to go out and get some lime.
I said, I need some limes, and then you just watched me squeeze some limes.
So I know there's lime in there, so I'm getting a lot of lime. Oh, there's a really interesting undertaste. Something, I don't know, exotic almost. I don't know. I don't know. It's all I'm thinking.
You might get one of them from the smell. This is not our usual thing. This is really good.
It's not our usual thing.
No.
It's got a floral hint to it.
It has got a bit of a floral oomph to it.
Oh, I've been taken in by this ghostly figure.
Well, the floral oomph, elderflower.
Oh, God, elderflower.
And I know you're not usually a fan of elderflower.
Well, I've come round to elderflower as long as it's not in everything.
But I think in moderation and with balance, I think it works very, very well.
Every time you've given me an elderflower cocktail, I have liked it. Yep. That's because you're a nice person and you don't just fling elderflower just wantonly around.
Indeed not. And sake.
Sake! Hey!
Yes, indeed. Sake, elderflower, lime. That's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, I thought there'd be more spirits in there. Oh my God, it's delightful.
But simplicity is often best.
And you're making use of that sake you bought
many
weeks
ago. And I
actually
went and bought a new bottle because I forgot how much I had. So, and I haven't even finished the original one yet, even after making these. So now I've got two bottles of sake in the cupboard.
Well, it's an excuse to make more of these.
Well, exactly.
Because it's delicious.
Really,
we've had sake once before.
Yeah.
In a cocktail, and we loved it. We were blown away about how delicate and delicious and tasty it was. This is so nice.
Really good.
Thank you for making this and not the horrible, horrible other one.
No, I'm very, very, very pleased with that. Everyone should go and make that. It's
my God, it's so good.
It's really nice.
And I would never guess that there's elderflower in it.
No.
Normally, elderflower sets me on edge because it's really overpowering.
It can be very
floral.
Overpowering. I mean, there's a half an ounce in each drink.
The elderflower that you're using, is this an elderflower liqueur?
No, yeah, this is the Saint-Germain. So
lovely.
Liqueur.
So it's not just a syrup.
It's not a syrup or a cordial or anything like that. It's the proper liqueur.
And a delicious sake.
And sake and lime juice, yeah.
Oh my God.
Give it a go, everyone. It's
Yay.
Really good.
Let's make 9 more of those. That is a resounding success. I'm very, very happy. There's not much more to say about
it. Well, indeed not.
Damn it.
let's drink another.
Phantom Love Song. Interesting title.
It is an interesting title. I don't know where it's come from. It's a bit of a random one. It's not in Difference or anything. It's a bit of a random website. But it also, I have to say, it did actually remind me as well of a song that I used to be obsessed with.
Okay.
Called Last Ever Love Song by a band called David Devant and His Spirit Wife. So...
What?
Ghostliness there, and the song title works.
What was this, and when, and where, and how?
It's a band called David Duran and His Spirit Wife.
Is this a big band?
No, no, they've been going for years, but they're sort of a little bit all sort of...
Your yeah, sort of thing.
My sort of thing. My sort of thing that you really won't like. But I might play it to you later just to torment you.
Oh, I want to listen to it later. I'll do a video of me listening along. Like,
it's weird.
Okay, well, that's a little insight yeah, there into Nick's life. So, what he likes to do on a Friday night. Well, with our Phantom Love songs firmly in hand, are you ready for a story, Nick?
Yes.
Now, full disclosure, I was planning to do another story tonight. I had given Nick already a devilish ingredient, shall we say. But this was one of the occasions where I got into the story and realised this is not a main episode story. This is very much a Patreon story. Because sometimes the stories that we research are too recent, you know, a little too close to home, but also a little too gruesome for the main episode.
Is there such a thing?
Oh, I think you'll find it. And so that's why it's always worth checking out Patreon if you haven't already, because we do lots of different types of story on there, still sort of sticking to our brand, but we will do more modern stories, and sometimes it gets, well, if you're into the gruesome and the gore, that's where to find it. So do listen next Tuesday, because those stories will be coming out if I survive the night. But tonight, Nick, we have a tale that is no less chilling than any of those devilish tales I referred to, no less fraught with mystery and criminality, shall we say. This is a case that is as famous for its prosecution as much as for the crime itself.
Okay. Mm. Was the judge a ghost?
He was.
Was the prosecutor a ghost?
Everyone was a ghost in it.
Nice.
Apart from, ironically, the victim.
Ah, interesting.
Mm, yes.
I like what they did there.
It's a goddamn ghost town. As this week's secret ingredient was a ghost, perhaps you can guess where this tale might be going. Because it is the story of the Greenbrier Ghost.
I should have done a Green Ghost. Ah, damn you. Damn you.
I was thinking it the whole way. And I was like, going, oh, he's going to do a Green Ghost. But it's really apt for the story. But
See, this is where niceness gets you.
So it gets me much happier to tell the story. If I'd had the chartreuse, I would have just been bleeding from the eyes. And cursing your name. But we know the Green Ghost is out there.
But does he write a love song? That's what I want to know.
Oh, he might.
There we go.
Maybe that's why he's a ghost. He's like, oh, he's a love
song.
That's
the next Demon Gin song.
The Green Ghost
The Green Ghost love song.
Stop adding songs to my
come
list.
Come on, get on with it.
Now, this is a tale that has been covered by many, many marvellous programmes. It has been featured in many a book, films, plays, even Darling Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories. But a few weeks ago, actually, covered this, so she stole her idea. She did it first, but she totally stole her idea. So do go and listen to her version of this very spooky telling of this tale in her brilliant, inimitable way. Ours is going to be a little bit more spicy, let's just shall we say. Please also be prepared for the sheer volume of brilliant names in this story, too.
Excellent.
Yes. So, Nick, let us go. Let us go to the great wide plains of West Virginia.
Nice. I like a plain.
You like a plain. Specifically, Greenbrier County. And it is 1895. If you want to picture the scene, very lush, rural area.
Rural.
You got to think mountains and streams and valleys and woods and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
I thought there were plains.
Well, there's some plains in between the mountains and the valleys.
In between the mountains and the valleys.
It's not just mountain, valley. It's very hard to get around.
Sounds delightful.
It's a beautiful part of the country.
I'm imagining it. You're taking me on a story.
And here we meet the lovely young lady, Zona Hester. Yes. Actually, Elva Zona Hester. She was known by her middle name, Zona. And she was born and raised in Greenbrier County. And she came from a decent family from the fairly remote area in the county of Little Swell Mountain.
Okay.
I don't know whether that means the mountain was like a little swell, or it was just a little swell mountain, as in, oh, it's swell.
Or it was just like a hill.
tiny swell.
Tiny hill. It was like, oh, that's the big swelly mountain.
They'd never seen such mountains before. They didn't turn around. And despite being a pretty young thing, you know, in mountain territory, hill territory, just swelling territory, she is sadly without a bow. All that swelling going on. She's without a bow to call her own, but that doesn't mean she doesn't have a past.
Okay.
Little backstory on Zona. By the age of 21, she had already born a child. Out of wedlock!
How dreadful. terrible, terrible behaviour. Stone her.
Okay, wow. You took it too far, Nick.
You want it spicy. You're getting spicy.
Yes, she had a child with a man named George Wooldridge, apparently. Allegedly conceived during a moonlit buggy ride.
Nice.
Very Calamity Jane, yeah, isn't it?
It truly is.
With moonshine. Take me back to the Black Hills.
So was someone else driving the buggy at this point?
I don't know.
Or they just, fuck it, let the buggy, will go where the buggy goes. We're getting on the back.
It's a rumour. It's very much a rumour that it was on a buggy ride. Now, Zona didn't marry George. Apparently he was penniless, so there was not much benefit in him marrying her. We're not sure what happened to the child that she bore. It is noted in this story that she had a past, and maybe it's a little bit unfair to sort of like say, oh, this woman had a past anyway. There is a good chance that maybe the baby didn't survive infancy. Maybe more likely it's been adopted by another member of the family. You know, the family is spread across this area. Taken to a farm two towns over, you know. But now it is 1895, and Zona has taken a trip to see her cousins over in Falling Spring.
Nice.
Nice area. And while she's there, she encounters a rather dashing young man.
Her cousin?
You say that, Nick. I read one account. Everyone was having sex with their cousins before this particular liaison came forward. And it was like, you're making a lot of assumptions here. But actually, I think it's true.
Well, there weren't that many people around. So.
Well, there we go. Well, because of that fact, there's not a lot of people around. She's got cousins everywhere. But then she sees a tall, dark, handsome chap who'd That's recently exciting. Moved back into the area to work as a blacksmith.
Nice.
Now, there's no big beards and tattoos Ooh. Here. Not your type. He's more of an intense, piercing... I'm sorry to stop. Shut that shit down right now.
Make such assumptions.
So a big beardy blacksmith guy with tattoos came rocking by with a bottle of chartreuse.
Moving on. So this is the chartreuse I want.
You can stay and dance with it. He is more of an intense, sort of piercing-eyed fellow. Quite handsome. And yes, it's nice when a stranger comes to town. Whereas the locals might treat any stranger with a bit of suspicion. Where are you from? And what's your family? And what's your backstory? Any young single woman is like, well, hey, yay!
I'm in there.
Husband material. This man's name, prepare yourself, Erasmus Stribling Trout Shoe.
You had me at the beginning. Erasmus Stribling, I can go with that.
Erasmus Stribling.
Trout Shoe is not a good ending to a name.
It's not a shoe for a trout. No, it's Erasmus Stribling. Trout was his nickname.
Right.
Some people report it as his middle name. I don't think that's true.
No.
It's just that it's Trout is how he was known. Okay. Some people think it was because of the area that he came from. There were some trouts.
He liked fish.
And Shoe, S-H-U-E. Shoe. He's known as Trout by friends. I'm going to call him Shoe because I can't bear to call him Trout all the way through this.
I'm going to call him Erasmus.
Erasmus, yes. But every time I say Erasmus, I have to go, Erasmus. Yeah. So Shoe was born in Fayette County and had followed in his father's footsteps as a blacksmith. He's moved around a little and has recently come into Greenbrier County to ply his trade in smithing. As you ply as a smither. Now in his early 30s, Zona sets eyes on him and she is sure she has found her perfect man. Now, hopefully he would see past her past indiscretions, or maybe she just wouldn't tell him.
That's probably the best way.
The two certainly fall madly in love and a match is made. But strangers, as I said, are generally met with suspicion in the county, in this area. And certainly she was viewed cautiously by Zona's family. There were rumours, Nick. Of course. Rumours that Shu himself had a past. And perhaps...
Is there a she? So you're not to complain about.
Okay, well, should we compare pasts?
Okay.
Yes.
Was he a ghost?
He was a ghost the whole time. Only a few months earlier, had been married to 16-year-old Lucy Ann Tritt.
Okay.
And 10 years before that, had another wife, Ally Cutlip.
Cutlip, good name.
Now, what had happened to these wives of his?
I'm assuming from that tone of voice, nothing good.
Well, the first wife, Ally, he wed in 1885. They had a daughter together, apparently named Goethe Lucretia.
Nice.
Good names good just name. Keep coming in this one, don't they? And the marriage was not said to be a particularly pleasant one. She was rumoured around the area to have beaten his wife regularly. But he would later say that his first wife had been mad and tormented him. This was a marriage fraught with problems. But the marriage was cut short when Shu had to go away for a couple of years.
Right, just had to go away.
To prison.
Oh, that's, yes, that's going away.
Yes, he was arrested for horse theft.
Ooh.
In Pocahontas County.
Nice.
He served 2 years in prison. As a result, the marriage dissolved, ended in divorce. Shu very much left his wife and child in the lurch, even when he was released from prison. Even when he was in prison, obviously he couldn't do anything, but then it was just, ah, no, she was quite bitter later on, as you would expect.
Yeah, that's understandable, to be honest, yeah.
But what of wife number two, Nick? Young Lucy Ann, who he had wed in 1894, so they were together just a year beforehand. They had been together less than 6 months when his wife suddenly died.
Ew.
Yes. The cause? Would you like to hazard a guess?
Blacksmith hammer.
Interesting. Interesting. No.
No.
No, it was an accident.
Ah, horses.
Those stolen horses.
Those stolen horses come back.
No, I think it could happen to anyone. You see, Shu was on the roof of his house.
Yeah.
Repairing the chimney in February when it would be snowing. And quite tragically, accidentally, very sadly, dropped a brick on his wife's head and she died.
Okay. Yeah.
That's could happen to anyone.
I mean, it's a common, tragic, but common occurrence, I feel.
Indeed. Now, some claimed that Shu, while he was in jail, had boasted that he was going to marry seven wives in his lifetime.
Right. Was he one of seven brothers, by any chance?
And then, yes, he's going to dance. Either that or he's Bluebeard. But this sort of rumour would persist after he'd left jail, and people remembered and whispered about him. But now with two wives dead, he is in need of another one. He needs to crack on if he's going to get to seven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So despite the shadows that follow the stranger to town and the quite vocal concerns of Zona's mother, Mary Jane, who didn't like Shu one bit, she had heard enough to make her think, you are not good material for my daughter. Zona and Shu were wed in November 1896 and they set up in a simple house, which is now in Richlands in the same county. The marriage seems to be a fine and happy one at first. Well, poor Zona did fall quite ill, quite suddenly and strangely, just after New Year in 1897. So not long after they'd been married.
Was he repairing the roof again?
He was up on that roof constantly going, I think the chimney's
coming up.
There's a lot
of work up there. Needs a lot of work.
There's no chimney up there. We don't have a chimney. We have a flu. No, she is quite ill. Doctors aren't quite sure what is wrong with her, what the cause could be. But Shu was by his wife's side throughout, caring for her, nursing her, tending to her every need. It seems that she starts to make a steady recovery. after this time. Oh, good for her. Wonderful. Much to the relief of her husband and friends. On the 22nd of January, 1897, mm-hmm. Shu calls into the house of a woman known as Aunt Martha and her 11-year-old son, Anderson Jones. He asks the boy to call by his house while he is at work to see if his wife needs anything. He says that she needs some help pickling eggs.
Well, yes.
So make sure he calls by and sees if she needs anything. Give her a hand during the day. Now, Aunt Martha says Anderson, well, he has some chores to get on with, but later on he'll definitely go by
the house. Got his own eggs to pickle.
He does. The pickling season is upon them. It's like spooky season, but much more spicy. Shu, hearing this, says, really? Okay, AB, he's definitely going to go by, isn't he? Yes, yes, he's fine. So Shu leaves. Then he comes back a short while later to see if Anderson has gone over. Aunt Martha says, no, he's still doing his chores. He will definitely go over later. Okay, fine, he leaves. Shu comes back four times, reportedly, to the house. Is he left? Is he going over? She really needs help pickling those eggs. More agitated, more angry every single time. So egg pickling season is clearly a stressful time.
Absolutely, yeah. It's ending. The season is ending.
They've got so many eggs
that need pickling.
So eventually, 11-year-old Anderson heads over to the house to see if Mrs. Shu needs any assistance. When he arrives, there is no answer when he knocks the door.
She's busy pickling. Hasn't got time to answer the door.
Well, maybe that's what spurs him to crack open the door and sneak inside. He doesn't want to annoy Mr. Shu any further, who seems to be quite agitated as it is. So he goes in, calling out Mrs. Shu's name. He finds her at the foot of the stairs. Her body is lying on the ground, very, very straight. It's noted the legs are quite precisely together. She is stretched out. One arm is across her chest, the other lying by her side, and her head is tilted to one side, the eyes wide and staring straight at Anderson. Lifeless.
That's going to be unnerving.
Anderson tries to rouse the woman by calling her name, but it's obvious that she is dead. And he runs then, screaming, out of the building.
Wise move, yes.
So there's a series of running and screaming after this as well. He runs to Aunt Martha's house. Ah! And says to her, woman's dead. Okay, let's run for the doctor. Ah! They go and get the doctor. Well, you need to go back to examine the body. Okay, let's all run together.
Is that the doctor running and screaming?
Yes, they're
as well?
All running okay. and screaming across the Good. Valleys, up and down the mountains. But when they arrive back at the house, all the running has taken quite a while, about an hour, because it's not, you know, very close territory. Erasmus Shu is already home, and he has found his poor dead wife. And he has taken the liberty of carrying her upstairs to the bedroom, at laying her out on the bed, washing the body, changing her clothes into a nice high-necked dress. Very nice high-necked, big stiff collar around good, it as good, well. Good. That was her favourite dress. She loved it. He's also put a veil across her, tied a scarf with a bow around her chin, and he is cradling her and wailing and going, oh my God, my wife is dead, my wife is dead. Oh yes, I have to hold her the entire time and the doctor's doing an examination. So the doctor comes up, Dr. George Knapp, to examine the woman. Shu is very agitated, crying. Obviously, he's been bereaved. He doesn't like it when he comes anywhere near her head. Yes, don't touch the body. No. So Dr. Knapp is kind of doing this dance around her, going, okay, well, I'll make an assessment without actually examining her at all. And so he does what he can, and he gives his diagnosis of the cause of death. Everlasting faint.
Everlasting faint. Nice. I like that.
She fainted herself to death.
Fainted herself to death. Well, it's what women do.
It is. It is.
They get overtaxed. That pickling was a stress. God.
The fumes just overcame
her. Yeah, absolutely. Those pickling fumes.
Getting the vapors.
Do anyone in.
Indeed. Now, maybe even Dr. Knapp walks away from the house going, no, that was shit. Sorry, what?
I didn't do my best work.
So his second diagnosis is, after he goes, that was rubbish, is pregnancy.
Right.
She died of pregnancy.
Died of pregnancy without being pregnant.
Without being pregnant.
Nice.
Or in the throes of labour, or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is a very Victorian doctor
this
prognosis.
I think doctor is also slightly overplaying it.
Well, he is a doctor. He is a doctor, but he's very much come across a woman and gone, oh, I don't know. She just died of
wombs. I don't know. We don't deal with that in medical school.
Oh, God. Yeah, just pregnant child. She probably was having her period and she died from it. That seems to have been what was said, what was accepted. Just she died because she's a woman.
Theory. It's just It's just women's hysteria. They go mad.
He may as well have written, her womb was trying to crawl out of her body and got stuck.
That's what they do.
So while there may be, maybe at the stretch of the imagination, some logic in a doctor assuming that a woman could have died at any time because of something womb related, it is the time where, you know, if you are pregnant, there could be complications, there could be all sorts of things. It's not a very good diagnosis. He really didn't do much examining beyond guesswork while walking out the door. And so it is, Zona is taken to her childhood home for the funeral. And people did note that her head seemed to be lolling about an awful lot.
It kept on falling off. We had to put it back.
It's moving around a lot. A shoe is there with like a stick and various things, propping her up like, oh, on. my baby, don't look at the neck. So she's taken to the family home. She is there in the casket. And Shu, again, is by the casket, making sure she has that nice stiff collar up nice and high, the nice dress, putting more veils on her, claiming that it's her favourite veil and she wanted to be buried with it. I always have a veil that I want to be buried with.
I figured it out. I know what it was. Figured it out.
What?
She was a vampire.
Or he was a vampire.
He was a vampire. He's covering up those bite marks on her neck with a big collar.
Oh no.
That's what it is.
That was it.
Sunscreen.
He was just nibbling at her neck the whole time. And the doctors wouldn't have been able to diagnose
that. The doctors aren't going to diagnose that.
They're looking at him hissing over his wife and going, you know what, pregnancy, I'm out
pregnancy,
of here.
Pregnancy, I'm gone,
I'm not tugging at this thread. Shu's demeanour at the funeral is also cause for concern. He's said to be jolly and normal, almost as if he's forgotten that he's at his wife's funeral and he's supposed to be sad. People comment on this strange behaviour, but still, poor Zona is laid to rest and the community moves on, except for her mother. Her mother, who is broken-hearted, angry and bitter, she knows that something has gone wrong here. Zona was not ill. There is no reasonable explanation for her death. And the mother, Mary Jane, never liked Shu. He has a dark past and there must be something more to her daughter's death than he is letting on. And Mary Jane takes to praying every single night for a sign.
Oh dear.
Praying for her child to tell her what happened. And then her prayers are answered.
Oh, are they indeed?
As Mary Jane dreams one night, she sees a bright white light filling her room, growing and shifting until it takes the form of her daughter, Zona. She stands wide-eyed and tells her mother that her death was indeed no accident. Her husband had come home and found that she had laid no meat on the table for dinner.
Death.
In his rage, he has wrapped his hands around her throat and throttled and crushed her neck. Until the bones snapped in his hands.
Oh, that's unpleasant.
As the spectre begins to fade away from the dream, the spectre stands and its head spins round, a full rotation to show that the neck has been broken, whispers to the mother to tell all of what has befallen her daughter. Da-da-da.
Bollocks!
You are no good with ghost stories, are you?
Sorry, when you started it, she had a dream. And you said dream twice in that. So, yes, she had a dream.
But the ghost came to her in a dream. She had the same dream four times.
Okay.
She had the same dream four times. What She's a good Christian woman. Four times she has the same dream.
She is obviously devastated. Her daughter has died. She is obviously hugely suspicious, thinks something's happened. She dreams that it's true.
Well, she has that explanation about the hands being wrapped around the neck and the neck snapping.
The only possible explanation is, obviously it is a ghost.
Well, she has the dream four times. She knows it must be true. She has the other, she waits four times and goes, okay, this is getting upsetting.
I mean, third time I was on the fence.
Are you sure? Really? I've been back here four times.
I've got other places to be. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. I've been to heaven. It's great up there. I would rather not come back here. I know I'm supposed to be in limbo and everything, but they gave me a free pass. I'm receiving these visions four times. Mary Jane goes to the local prosecutor, John Preston, and tells him that her daughter was murdered. And she spends hours with the prosecutor saying, I will not let this go. My daughter has been murdered. You need to do more. You need to interview more people. You need to exhume her body. I have seen a vision. I know that this is true. Now, whether the prosecutor believes this woman or he just wants her off his back.
Just go away.
Just go away. He agrees to reinvestigate, to have some more interviews with people. Dr. Knapp, he speaks to, And when he presses him further, Dr. Knapp confirms, I didn't really examine the body. Sorry.
Didn't do much at all.
I kind of just made up some shit on the spot about what could have happened to her. Something womb-related. The period blood went to her head. At which point, the prosecutor's like, okay, this is not a good sign.
This is not a good start, no.
Maybe we should just exhume the body to be absolutely sure and have a competent doctor perform a autopsy. So in front of an inquest jury, an autopsy is performed, and Shu is there and other witnesses are there as well. And on examination, they do find that Zona's neck is broken. The bones, it said, are cracked, the windpipe mashed. On the throat were finger marks indicating she had been choked. The neck was dislocated between the first and the second vertebrae, and the ligaments were torn and ruptured.
That's quite violent.
She was present for the autopsy, as was young Anderson Jones. Anderson would later say, when he was at the autopsy, Dr. Knapp was working around Mrs. Shu's head, and I could see Shu was getting more nervous. His whittling was not so good. What was he carving?
What was he carving at this point?
I don't know if there's another phrase for something, but I'm imagining him just whittling a stick into a gallows.
With a spoon, whittling away.
Suddenly the doctor turned to Mr. Preston. They whispered together for a few minutes, and then Mr. Preston turned to Shu and said, "Well, Shu, we have found your wife's neck to be broken." Shu's head dropped. A change came over him that I can't explain, but it certainly proved his guilt to me.
Okay. Perhaps it was the boy.
Oh.
Perhaps it was the Anderson. Perhaps it was him.
Maybe. Well, something dreadfully wrong has occurred here. A woman has been murdered, her neck broken, and clearly evidence that a person has done this. Now, it's possible the mother could have killed her own daughter and then made up a ghost story to cover it up and then begged people to examine this story.
I mean, it happens all the time.
She could be crazy. But please feel the husband may be a better person to ask.
Essentially, out of the two, let's go with the husband.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Shu is questioned further, as are others who knew him, and soon the skeletons begin to fall out of the cupboard. When they hear about his two former wives, the suspicious death of one of them, the strange behaviour at the funeral, the claims he has made about marrying seven wives, they feel they have enough evidence to bring him to trial for murder. Now, at court and outside of court, Shu is adamant in his innocence. It is nonsense. In fact, in jail, he is vocal about his confidence that he will be freed, as they do not have enough evidence against him, and he says this to reporters. And all of this prospering does not endear him to the local press or indeed the local community, because the news of his past is spreading and ill feeling is stirring in this very close-knit community. The prosecution and John Preston decide they will not put Mary Jane, Zona's mother, forward as a star witness.
Well, probably wise.
They fear that her story of ghostly visits might harm their case.
Yes, I think it probably would.
They will deal in whatever facts they can gather. The defence decide to take the unusual step of putting Mary Jane on the stand.
Well, I'm not surprised, because their entire case is based on one woman's hallucinations.
So. It's not the entire case.
Well, no, but a big yes, but how it all came about was based on...
Certainly, the local feeling, the story of these visions of the ghost has circulated around the town.
I have no doubt.
There are thoughts that the prosecution has wisely decided not to enter this into court as evidence, but they know enough that the jury, that other people are going to be talking about it, the ghost of Zona has come back and has revealed who her murderer is. But the defence decide, as you said, we'll put Mary Jane in the sand and we'll tear this theory apart. We will expose her as an idiot, as a liar and a fool, and then Shu will be completely exonerated. It is foolproof.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how he's going to get away with it because of that.
Mrs. Hester, Mary Jane, is unwavering. She is determined, she is stoic, she is calm under the questioning of the defence. She explains she is a good Christian woman. She is not superstitious. She is not prone to believing in ghosts or make-believes, but she knows what she saw. She has been proven right by her daughter's messages in her dreams. And indeed, if she had not come, if she had not raised this question with the prosecutors... From this vision that she had, from a ghost visiting her, who would have known what had happened to Zona? She has been proven right. Her daughter has been murdered. And the jury are very much inclined to believe her. This is a whole jury that would have been pretty local folk.
Yeah.
They've heard the tales. they're very much going to side on that side.
Absolutely.
Mary Jane is not going to be shaken. And the defence, who thought maybe she would be broken, they do not succeed. Shu takes a stand, and the local paper reports it thus. Shu was on the stand all Tuesday afternoon. He was given free rein and talked at great length. Was very minute and particular in describing unimportant incidents. Denied pretty much everything said by other witnesses. Said the prosecution was all spite work. Entered a positive denial of the charge against him, vehemently protested his innocence, calling God to witness, admitted that he had served a term in the pen, declared that he had dearly loved his wife, and appealed to the jury to look into his face and then say if he was guilty. His testimony, manner, etc., made an unfavourable impression on spectators.
Oh, dear.
You can imagine him really kind of, oh, look at me, I'm great.
Yeah, it's not going to go down well, is it?
He does really think that he's going to work on this. There's a really sad side note, sad in for history, I think, side note to this case. She was represented by one of the first black attorneys in Greenbrier County to practice law, and it's a real shame that it was this case.
Yeah, not a good case to start out with, really.
I mean, unfortunately, the fact that there was a black attorney didn't endear him to the jury, and it's a terrible, terrible case to defend. He probably thought it was great, thinking like, oh, well, a ghost has turned up to accuse someone. Brilliant, I'm quids in here. Oh, yeah. Right. Well, the jury takes less than an hour to return a guilty verdict. Erasmus Shu, Erasmus Stribling Trout Shoe is sentenced to life in prison. Apparently, a lynch mob had already assembled outside the courthouse.
They were ready and waiting.
Yeah, just in case justice wasn't served, they were like, oh, we're going to get you, we're going to get you. As some of the authorities ran out in advance to disperse them.
It's fine, he's going to prison forever.
It's fine. But they were still like, oh, no, we wanted to fight.
We're here.
Four people were still arrested for trying to threaten his life.
Yeah,
when he was
come
led
all this
away.
Way.
Yeah. Oh, we got torches and pitchforks. So he was sentenced, he went to jail. Shu would die 3 years into his sentence due to an epidemic. It could have been measles, could have been pneumonia, could have been TB, but it swept through the prisons. This was a
could
common
have been
occurrence. Could have been ghosts, but he died in 1900. But this was one of the few cases in history where spectral evidence was allowed to enter the courtroom, where a ghost apparently identified her own murderer and got him convicted. In the state of West Virginia, they have erected a historical marker near where Zona Shu is buried. And it reads, interned in nearby cemetery is Zona Hester Shu. Her death in 1897 was presumed natural until her spirit appeared to her mother to describe how she was killed by her husband. Autopsy on the exhumed body verified the apparition's account. Her husband, found guilty of murder, was sentenced to the state prison. Only known case in which testimony from a ghost helped convict a murderer. And that is the story of the Greenbrier Ghost. Now, in the plaque, I'm just going to say one thing. They call him Edward, and I went with Erasmus. Some people say Erasmus, some people say Edward, and I was like, nah, it's Erasmus.
Nah, Erasmus is much better. Much better name.
But there you go. That is the story.
Ah,
a ghost at trial.
A ghost at trial. Yes.
The cynicism is seeping out of you right now, isn't it?
Oh, I wish. I know, I really wish I could go, it's brilliant, it's all true, it's marvellous. But I just can't. I can't. All I can do is say bollocks.
Okay, so what's the explanation then?
Well, she had a dream. She was so convinced that something had happened. And if she had seen the floppy neck and all this sort of stuff, then she may not have logically known what it is, but her sort of subconscious put it together or something, and she dreamt about it. I do not think that the ghost of her daughter appeared to her in a dream and told her. No.
Well, if she did dream it, then isn't that possibly the ghost? Isn't that as crazy?
No. It's her having a dream. Her mind
aren't
putting...
dreams ghosts?
Aren't dreams ghosts? One day I may be proved entirely wrong. The ghosts are real and there's 12 of them in this room now. I don't know. But
they're all bloody pissed off.
And they're all really annoyed with me, so I'm not going to have a jolly time when that happens.
So there is another school of thought around this. Is that Mary Jane, well, the mother is just very astute, is very smart,
exactly.
is standing around the whole time going, what are you doing, people? My daughter has been killed. I don't like this man. And that she may have read reports, possibly like the Red Barn murder that we covered 2 weeks ago, which is another case of, ooh, yes, a ghost told me where her body is.
If she's that astute, is it her way of getting that information there? Is it of making this known? Not just, I mean, at that time, is it for a male prosecutor, they're more likely to be a ghost than the woman?
I mean, maybe.
It's a dreadful thing to think, but is that the case? She thinks she's going to get more response out of people if a ghost told her this rather than I've figured this out myself.
It seems crazy when you say it like that. It's like it's more easy to dismiss one going, oh, a ghost did it. A ghost told you, did they? Okay, let me type it up on my magic typewriter. But maybe she had read another case and thought, okay, this is a credible way. Because actually at the time, while you are Mr. Cynicism of the 21st century, people were inclined to believe in ghosts.
True.
They were inclined to be superstitious and worry about ghosts and bad things happening, even though she's a Christian woman and is a Christian community. If you say that there's a ghost and these visions have been coming, there'd be enough people who would, even if she's spoken, there's enough members of the community who become knocking at the prosecutor's door going, oh, no, you need to investigate,
Ghost said so.
Up until that point, until she shouted, that would have been completely missed.
Oh, later, absolutely, yeah.
But then why didn't she shout more at the time?
Well, perhaps she did.
Why was she ignored then?
That I cannot answer.
Ghosts get you what you need.
Go, yeah.
That's maybe why you should believe in ghosts.
Yes, that's right. I can't come to work. There's ghosts.
I mean, I would let you off. Take all the time you need. There was some other versions of this story as well. Some people might be thinking about it, that there were theories that Zona Shu might have been pregnant and that this was related to a miscarriage. That's why she was ill. And some people were saying, oh, did she miscarriage and fall down the stairs or something?
She was so neatly arranged.
Yes.
Then that seems, you don't fall down the stairs in a straight line, I feel.
Yes, some have kind of gone more of the conspiracy theory the other way, going, did she have a miscarriage, to which the doctor's prognosis of died of pregnancy would be right.
Yeah.
There were some accounts that there was blood in the house. Some people admit that because it doesn't really fit with the story.
True.
Did she fall down the stairs? Did she miscarriage? Did she break her neck in that way, if she fell down the stairs? It seemed to be implied that she was positioned by the bottom of the stairs by her husband. And because the mother was so convinced that a murder had taken place and actually her daughter had died of natural causes.
It was an accident.
And then they found her neck had broken, and then they made up, or they decided they saw some fingerprint marks because they'd gone to all this trouble. Like, oh yeah, you know what? Let's accuse that guy. Maybe not out of malice, but just genuinely swept up in it.
Yeah, exactly. We've dug all this big hole. We might as well make the most of it. He's not very popular around here.
Indeed. So. Yeah, no, exactly. He's dashing and yet he's killing all his wives. But he said he would marry 7 wives.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he killed her.
I think that's probably more than likely. Mm. Yes. I think that's probably the most likely account.
And I think ghosts were all the way through this.
All the way through.
Yep,
whispering,
absolutely.
Telling him what to do all the way through.
It's quite a lovely picture, though, of the ghost standing and the head rotating. Was it 360 degrees? Of just
very Exorcist.
I keep trying to say 180, and I'm like, that's halfway. And they're like, no. Yes. Yeah, spinning around.
Vomiting everywhere.
Well, yes, but you're just like team no ghost.
No ghost.
No ghost.
No ghost.
You're ruining Spooky Month for
everyone.
Sorry,
I apologise, everyone. I'm an unbeliever.
But it's a good spooky ghost story that has a murder.
Nicely done.
There you are. Well, what do you think, people? Are you Team Nick? There was no ghosts. This was all just a simple case of murder and the mother was being cunning with it. Or are you Team Sinead, Spooky Month? Is there ghosts everywhere? Are ghosts telling us secrets in our dreams? Do they come in the night, climb into your head and tell you things? Should you be terrified of every dream you have? It's a prophecy of some sort.
Also thinking, have ghosts not got nothing better to do?
Yes, this is the thing about ghost stories. This is probably why we don't do ghost stories, because you would just scream the entire time.
I really would.
You'd ruin it. There'd be no spookiness and there'd be no discussion. This is why we don't do paranormal stuff. But yeah, that I do agree with that. Ghosts have got nothing better to do than stand around. And they always appear to people who aren't dear or close to them. They're some sort of distant relative. I saw a soldier from World War One. Why don't he go to see his family? Bloody hell. Yes, but people, still ghosts aplenty in this story. What do you think? Tell us whether you are spooky team or skeptical team. What do you think about the story? Tell us on social media. Jump on those comments. But most importantly, mix yourself up a phantom love song.
Indeed, I think whatever we say, I think we can both agree for that is a most splendid cocktail.
We can agree on that.
We can agree on that one. One of those. It's very tasty.
Phantoms write love songs.
Phantoms like love songs.
The phantom has taken over you, you see, you see.
I've got ghosts in my mouth.
Surprised that doctor didn't go, oh, she got ghosts in her womb. Ghosts. She needs cocaine. Tell us what you think of the story of your favourite ghosty murder stories, because we'd love to cover them. We're running out of time in Spooky Month, but we've got wonderful, wonderful things planned. Mix up a Phantom of Love song on Friday night. Maybe we'll throw up some extra cocktail ideas on there, or just send us pictures of what you're drinking for October. And for Sinead, just send pictures of all the lovely Halloween decorations you have
send
up.
Pictures of all the ghosts.
All the ghosts.
Send them to Sinead.
Yeah, all the ghosts that you've dreamt about.
Send us pictures of your dreams. If you like more spooky, silly nonsense, then come and join us on Patreon, where it all gets very silly. I've lost track of how many episodes there are.
A million.
A million episodes on Patreon, all for about $5 a month. It's very exciting over there.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the poisonous cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.